We believe, and so we speak. Amen. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, Grace.
How are you? Good? I'm glad to see you all this morning. So before we begin, I just want to invite you, as you're in this space, in this moment, to notice your bodies. So just take a minute to notice your body without judgment. Just notice. What energy are you bringing to this moment? How does it feel for you to be here in this moment in your body? No judgment, just noticing. And then I'll invite you to take a deep breath of gratitude for the simple ability to gather, for the simple ability to breathe, for this day, for the opportunity of relationship. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day, for this community, for the way that you show up in it through relationship. We thank you that you have given us each gifts to share with this community. We thank you for the ability to listen and to learn and for the courage to speak. All of this we pray in the name of the one who is risen and who is with us right now. Amen. All right, so today we have a conversation with a congregant, Kim Hayes. Yay! So Kim is going to sit right there for a minute while I talk to you about a few things before. So this Sunday we have three distinct readings, right? We have our Hebrew Bible, we have our epistle, and then we have the gospel. That's what we heard today. So in our Hebrew Bible, we're hearing from Samuel, the prophet Samuel, who we heard a little bit about last week in the sermon. And then we have our epistle. Everybody here knows what an epistle is. Somebody tell me. What's it? What is an epistle? It's a letter. Anybody have any idea about what year this letter was written? Any ideas? Because it's a letter, it was actually penned, right? It wasn't something that was spoken and then written down later like we have in our Gospels. It's a letter. First of all, who wrote it? Who wrote this particular? Okay, Paul, good. And any ideas about a guess of a year? 55, Greg. Nailing it back here. All right. So around 55, and then we have Mark. And we have Jesus speaking in our gospel in Mark. So we've got Samuel, and we've got Paul, and we have Jesus all speaking today. So I want to start with Samuel. You all heard it, right? So in Samuel, we have a warning. We have a warning from God, and we have Samuel speaking that warning. He's speaking it. He tells them very clearly, look, you want a king? Okay, fine. I'm going to give you a king. But this is what the king is going to do to you. He's going to take all your people, all your money, all your land, and he's going to give them to his buddies. And they're like, yeah, that's all right. We'll do it. Like, what do you imagine is going on in their minds in that moment? Right? We'll get to that in a minute. But Samuel hears very specifically from God this warning. And so he speaks it. He speaks it. They don't listen to him. He keeps moving. He keeps being the leader in that moment, through that moment with the people, but he still speaks it. But they don't listen. We have the warning. Then we have Paul writing a letter to a community of early Jesus followers. And often these letters from Paul to this community are called the letters of warning, right? So he is writing also a warning. They're also sometimes called the letter of tears. Because Paul is trying to address a community that is under some amount of threat. Anybody know about this time who has just been murdered? And that's a word that we use kind of loosely, but who has been murdered in Rome? Anybody know who right around this time has, Greg? Peter! Yes! Okay, so Peter has just been murdered in Rome. There are all these new communities of Jesus followers, because the word Christian didn't exist yet. I know you all already know that, but I'm going to just say it again. The word Christian didn't exist. It was a group of Jewish people and Gentile people who had come together who were following this new leader of Jesus. So Peter has been murdered in Rome. Paul is writing these letters from this place of warning. And he's saying to the people, don't be afraid to speak. Even though, you can imagine, they would be, because there's a lot of persecution going on. He says, don't be afraid to speak. We believe, and so we must speak, right? So that's what you have going on there. And then we have Jesus. What's happening with Jesus? Jesus is where? He's in the temple, and he's doing what? Speaking, right? And then what happens? Mary shows up. I have to tell you all, this is absolutely one of my, as a mother, this is like my favorite gospel. Mary's like, okay, I've had enough of this. We're going down to the temple and we're getting him. He is done, right? He's lost his mind. So Mary, the mom, goes down there with his buddies. She's like, we've got to get him out. Go in there and get Jesus. And they're like, man, he's kind of busy. Go in there and get my son, right? And so anyway, they go in, they try to pull him out, but he's speaking. And so what does he do? He subverts the entire idea of family. How do you think Mary felt in that moment? She was like, oh, you just wait till you get home. What did he just say? Right? But what Jesus does is he flips the idea of who we belong to and who we follow. He's also giving a warning. Who do you follow, right? Who do you follow? And what do you believe that leads you to follow this way? So what do we believe? And then from what we believe, how do we speak? And when? So what I want to talk to Kim about today, and just raise your hand if you've ever been somewhere and you've been invited to speak and you got nervous. Do you know that the fear of public speaking is like among the three top, the greatest, what is it, taxes? Okay, maybe I made that up. Death, something else, and public speaking, I don't know. Taxes. So, right, it's scary. I mean, I've been doing this for how long, but every time I get in the pulpit, I feel a little bit of anxiety. And if I didn't, I would say that there's something kind of wrong with me. Because it's important when we speak, it should be because we believe we should. But how do we know when to speak? How do we know? Anybody in here have that question? Do you sometimes feel like something bubbling up, like, oh, I believe something here and I should speak it? Never mind. And then you just go, you know, whatever, leave or stay silent. Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever done that. Okay, great. Has anybody in here ever spoken and then thought later, I really should not. Yeah, I spent like 70% of my life in that place. Both matter, okay? Sometimes we are afraid to speak, and sometimes we're afraid to stay silent. But there's a common theme with both of those. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever been to a wedding. There's this part in the wedding that I always love, where I get to say out loud, if anyone here believes that there is reason these two should not get married, speak now or forever hold your peace. Has anybody ever been to a wedding where somebody actually said something right then? No. I'm sorry. Does everyone here believe that everyone at all of those weddings had no reason to believe that those two people shouldn't get married? You know, everyone sitting there going, well, I could think of three right now, but I'm just going to sit here because this has already been paid for, right? So, of course, there are moments when things cross our minds and we think, whoa, I mean, even in a wedding, that's a big deal. But I'm sorry, if you haven't told them by then, you should just stay silent, right? Okay. So, but there are moments when we feel called to speak because we believe, because we are believers, and we need to speak. And then there are times when we feel called to speak that we shouldn't. Doesn't mean that both things aren't true necessarily, but there are appropriate times, necessary times. So you all know I have on my arm tattooed "Good Trouble" after John Lewis. When he passed away, that's the tattoo I got. In case you didn't know that, I'm sorry to shock you. But for me, what he says is, be good trouble, be necessary trouble. Necessary. Is what we speak necessary in the moment? How do we know that? Why do I ask you when we get together before we pray to notice your bodies? Anybody have any idea why I said? First of all, raise your hand if you've ever been asked in church to notice your body. Nope. But in fact, it's often the opposite. This is why we're called the frozen chosen. Has anybody heard that? Oh, come on. Yeah, the frozen chosen, right? Because we just sit there, we stand up, we kneel, stand up, you know, and we don't, there's nothing authentic necessarily about our movement. I love the movement of the church. I think the frozen chosen really more applies to the fact that we don't know what we're doing when we're doing it. We're not connected to our bodies when we're praying. We're not connected to our bodies when we're listening. We're not aware of what's going on with us. Where does God dwell? In our scripture, where does it say that the Holy Spirit dwells? Within. We don't know what's going on with our bodies. How are we supposed to know what the Spirit is saying to us? They're connected. If the Spirit dwells within, I better know what's going on within. So during the season of Pentecost, what we're really looking at is, how does the Holy Spirit move us? How does it guide us? How does it lead us to live? And part of our living, because we believe, is speaking. But I know we all have questions about how and when. So now I'm going to invite Kim forward. Come on, Kim! Because Kim is going to tell us a story. I'm going to ask her questions, and she's going to tell us a story about a time recently that she had this experience of deciding about speaking. Okay, so before we start, you turn it on right here. Speaking is important. Being able to hear you is also very important. Okay. Kim, how long have you been at Grace?
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. That's awesome. I think the only person in this room who's been here, well, that's not true, the only, but Rusty, how long have you been here, sir?
73.
Not since 1973. No. 73 years, people. That's Rusty. We're so glad you're here. So 40 years is a long time. And in that time, you have worked with lots of different ministries. Tell us just a couple of the things that you've, the ministries you've worked with while you've been here.
Peacemaking, outreach, which I'm still working with, Acolytes, the kids' Acolyte program.
Mm-hmm. Greeters?
Yes, greeters.
Women Walking the Way? Lots of things.
Carry on.
Yeah, right? You've been involved in a lot of different things. Would you say that you are the kind of person that if people are like, man, something needs to get said, that they're going to be like, put Kim out in front? Are you, like, vocal a lot?
We could take a poll. I don't know. I don't feel vocal, but I will speak if I need to.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're not the kind of person that just goes on and on. And yeah, okay. That's yeah, good to know. So how did you feel in your body when I said, "Hey, Kim, want to do a conversational sermon with me on Sunday?"
I didn't really believe what I was seeing. I said, "What? What? What?" And then I said, "No.
Right.
No, 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 no."
But how did you feel?
Terrified.
Okay.
And intrigued enough to ask for a little more information. But yeah, it was, I was pretty scared.
So I believe what you actually said was, give me a second to pray on that.
I did do that.
Yeah, yes. which is great. But it wasn't something you were like, yes, let's do that. I can't wait to. Yeah. But, well, thank you for saying yes eventually, which is what you did. So thank you for being here. I think it's important. You know, I've done maybe 6 or 7 of these conversational sermons, and they've always been with another priest. Fine, that's great. I'm glad you get to hear from these folks. But this is important to me because Kim is a congregant and represents the work of the congregation in this moment. And it's important that we highlight the work that we all do in order to do the work, right? We all just don't show up and fully prepared for the ministries that God calls us into. Sometimes we have to actually do some work to get there. And I know you all already know this. So this is what we're going to talk about today. So recently, you had another ministry you've been very involved with was Safe Shelter.
Safe Shelter.
Is Safe Shelter. Everybody here know about Safe Shelter, right? It's the, we keep people in shelter, we keep them sheltered until they're able to find permanent housing. Right now it's going from church to church. The first church it was at was Grace last month, and we had some neighborhood conversations about that because some people were upset that we were sheltering folks who were homeless. So there was some conflict around that. So we had a neighborhood meeting. At that neighborhood meeting, 75 to 80 folks showed up. It was a big meeting. And Kim was there. Kim's been participating with Safe Shelter, volunteering, bringing food for the last 2 years that it's been going. So you were sitting there listening to some of the concerns.
Yes.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about what happened to you as you were sitting there listening to these concerns, and just to the support as well, because there were people there supporting.
Yeah, there was tension in the room. You could feel it. People were they had their side.
Mm.
They had their side.
So it was a house divided, so to speak.
Oh yeah.
Yes, yes.
And there was I went in with no intention except to be there in support of Safe Shelter, just as a warm body sitting there nodding.
Uh-huh.
And I could just feel it getting, it's like something twisting, you know, more and more and more.
And you felt it
inside of me, but in the atmosphere of the room too. I mean, people were beginning to yell at each other and kind of sling mean comments back and forth, and I don't know, I just, there was that point where I don't want to say I felt like a puppet, but I felt like I was being pushed into doing something that I wasn't really totally doing on my own. And I was standing up and I was walking across in front of people, and the whole time I was walking, I was saying out loud, and this is not me either, but I was going, no, 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 I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. I am not doing this. Walk to the front of the room.
As you were walking.
As I was walking.
You were literally arguing with yourself as you were walking up there. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Okay. Uh-huh. I see.
and they handed me the microphone, and I mean, I had no clue what I was going to say. I didn't come with prepared remarks. I mean, that was, I didn't even know why I was up there. I mean, I was just there all of a sudden. And I just started talking, and I said, basically, you know, you need to stop this. I'm not here to fight with you. And most of the rest of what I said, I don't remember, but at the end, I just said, why don't you come break bread with us and see for yourselves. If you think this is a bad thing, come find out by breaking bread with us.
So I'll tell you, observing it, so I had made a commitment that night not to speak at all, and I did not speak at all. Thank you. I didn't, I mean, I spoke to myself a lot, but I did not speak out loud. And so from an observer standpoint, I was watching Kim walk up and I was like, okay, all right, Kim. And then when she got up there, this is what it looked like to me. Totally calm. Open, warm. And she did give a warning. At the beginning, she was like, we need to stop this. But your voice the whole time you were speaking was slow and calm and warm. But you were so clear. And she also didn't rush. It was as if she had the whole room. It was, she could take as long as she wanted. She just kept talking. And it's so funny to me because when you sat down, you were like, I have no idea what I just said. You didn't. I don't think you did. But every single thing was completely eloquent, clear, understandable, and the room suddenly just stilled. And everyone just kind of looked at each other. And then she said, if you want to know if it's good or bad, just come join us. It was so rational and obvious, and it just cut through everything else that was happening. It was an absolute gift. And so I didn't know that she wasn't prepared. I didn't know you weren't prepared to do that. I didn't know you hadn't thought about that. I had no idea. So when I heard later that you didn't, I thought, oh, this is worth a conversation. So first of all, thank you for allowing yourself to be led. Thank you for trusting, and thank you for speaking. We believe, and so we speak, right? My question, and I think what we need to hear and sit with now, is what do you think allowed you to have the courage to move through the self-argument of, I am not doing this. I just love that. I'm not doing this. As your feet are moving. What practices do you have? And what in that moment really allowed you? It's not like you suddenly said, yes, this is the right thing to do. Do you all hear that? There wasn't a moment when she was like, oh, this is clearly the right thing to do. I agree. And then did it. It was more just a following the flow, following the spirit. And then you were there, and then you did it, right? So what do you think, and this wasn't that long ago, but what do you think allowed you to do that, Kim?
I guess it's not my first rodeo. And I've done this before in other situations, not often, but in the process of maybe listening to God's push. And for me, it's not leading. It's not saying, come do this. It is a push in the back almost every single time. But in listening to that over the years, I've come to realize that I don't have to say yes. And there have been times when I have felt like God wanted me to do something and I did say no and couldn't be budged. And I regretted it. I had such regret inside of me after the fact. But when I do it, and luckily somebody comes up and says, and this is what you said, and I say, oh, good, all right, that didn't sound good. But when you do it, you just feel like you did the right thing. And Millie's right, sometimes being quiet is the best thing to do. And I thought I had that figured out that night. I was not planning to make a peep.
So here's something I think that matters. I was not planning. We don't plan. We don't get to plan everything in our lives. You all know that, right? I mean, right? So part of what you have done, Kim, is practiced the art of noticing. Noticing is an art. Noticing self, noticing others, noticing the room, without judgment, just noticing. I notice I have a plan. How do we make God laugh? Make plans, right? So I notice I have a plan. Okay, that's good to know. But what I hear you have noticed is the still small voice, or the push or the pull, whatever, however we experience that. You've noticed when you've said yes to it. You've noticed when you've said no. You've noticed that when you say no, that feeling of regret is not something you like. And the feeling of saying yes is something that fills you with what?
Just a good feeling, peace.
Happiness. Peace. So when you say no and you feel regret, that's not a peaceful feeling. When you say yes and you speak, that's a peaceful feeling. Okay. So you've practiced noticing that.
Yeah, I think so. And the other night, though, I have to say this. This was just popped in my head, and I thought, oh, maybe I can use this. But because Millie said, don't come prepared. So I'm like,
don't make a plan.
Don't make a plan. But one thing that I felt like I realized about myself is that I often find myself put in the middle, in the breach, in the gap between action and inaction, or angry voices and gentle voices, between, you know, things that are colliding, and I find myself stuck in the middle of that, and sometimes it feels really dangerous. I mean, that night, Millie may have thought I was calm, but I was shaking like a leaf. And my voice, I felt like I was, you know, just barely able to get the words out. But I felt threatened standing up there. I felt endangered in a way that, you know, I just knew I was talking to at least half the room was filled with really angry people who we're not going to hear anything from one another.
Right. So what motivated, when you think about the motivation of the times that you speak, when you're standing in that gap, where did Jesus walk in Jesus's life? Where did Jesus move in his life? On the edges, in the middle, on the gaps, around things. This is where he would move. Because why? Who did he meet there on the edges, in the gaps? People in need. People who had been removed, cast out. People who were lonely or forgotten. This is why Jesus moved on the edges, was to be connected to those folks. The edges are scary places. Gaps can be scary places. So what was your motivation to speak? Not like in one word. If fear might have made you sit down, what was your motivation to stand up?
I felt myself wanting to get angry. And it was that something in me that said, this is not the time to be angry.
So rather than joining them, you decided to stand up in a different posture, to lead from a different place. So what is the place, if we're not led by fear, what do I say? What's the other option? There are two emotions. What are they? Fear and love. So what I hear Kim saying is, rather than join the fear, she had to stand up and proclaim the peace of love. She had to stand up and proclaim a different message, lead in a different way, which is coming from a place of love, right? So here's how I thank you for all of that. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, she's doing so well for me. I really appreciate it.
I'm not speaking for you. I am speaking to the power of this moment, because everyone here has a moment they regret that they didn't speak. Every single person in this room has a moment they regret they did not speak. And like me, many of you have some moments when you should have stayed silent. That's okay too. Noticing. We simply notice, right? When I speak when I shouldn't, it's coming from fear every single time. When I get afraid, lots of people, when they're afraid, do what? They shut down. When I am afraid, I rise up. I'm small, but I'm telling you, when I'm afraid, I get really big. It's not pretty. It's still fear. Whether we're shutting down or we're ramping up, it's still fear. What will allow us to stand in the divided house, to stand in the divided community, to stand in the gap with strength and calm is when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we're led by that from a place of love. So noticing our bodies is about noticing when we feel like we are in a place of love. If we're in a place of fear, not that we might not be afraid to speak, that's different. But when we are in a place of fear, silence is the best until we can get into a place of love. So I want you all to imagine the last time you were really aware that you felt loved and loving. Could have been 5 seconds ago, could be right now. Just think of a time that you really felt the power of love, connection, peace. I want you to just for a second, really try to remember what that feels like in your body. Is it relaxed? Is it open? You feel calm. This is what we need to be aware of when we are making decisions about action or speaking, because what we believe as Christians is that our greatest commandment is to love. Yes? It's to love. You cannot be loving if you are not in a place of love yourself. Fear will not lead you to be loving. Fear will not allow you to speak from a loving place. We believe in love, and so we speak. Amen. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.